Philadelphia's Mutter Museum is a huge attraction for lovers of the bizarre. Skulls in all shapes and sizes line the walls. There are the famous conjoined twins, the woman with the horn on her forehead. But it's really a tribute to a surgeon who changed medicine and how it's taught. Kristen O'Keefe Aptowitz has written a new book about the famous doctor. It's called Dr. Mutter's Marvels. I caught up with Aptowitz at the location where she did most of her research. Kristen, thank you so much for being on The Pulse. Tell me, where are we? What is this space?
We're right now in the archives and special collection of Jefferson University here in Philadelphia in the Scott Memorial Library. And it's where I spent probably the bulk of my research for the book Dr. Mutter's Marvels, which is coming out this fall, about the life and times of Thomas Dent Mutter, best known for founding the Mutter Museum.
Now, you say Mutter. I would say Mutter. And some people say Mutter. Yeah. So how do you say it?
I say Mutter. Thomas was born in Virginia in 1811, and his name did not include the umlaut when he was born. So people tend to believe that he was born with the name Mutter, Tom Mutter. But when he went to Paris to study under the amazing surgeons that were working during that time period, this is about the 1830s, he was inspired by European surgery and European innovation. And when he came back to Philadelphia, he decided to add the umlaut. And I believe when he made that choice, he also decided to alter the pronunciation of his name. That's why I say Mutter, although no one actually knows how his name is pronounced.
Thomas Mutter was orphaned at a young age, yes. Had a kind of a tough beginning. How did he get into medicine?
His entire family died within about 7 years of his birth. His little brother died first, then his mother, then his father. He was sent to live with his grandmother, and shortly after that, his grandmother died. He himself was always in poor health. So I think that from a very early age, his relationship to medicine was something that was important. He could differentiate between helpful medicine and unhelpful medicine and knew how he wanted to be treated and wished that more doctors would behave the way that the doctors he admired and that took care of him so well. It was also, you know, a time in America when the class system was very rigid, and medicine, and particularly surgery, was one of those fields where you were based on your talent. It wasn't necessarily who you knew, although that certainly was true in the beginning in order to establish yourself. Certainly helped to have a famous family or a well-known name. But if you were a skilled surgeon, people would go out of their way to come to you for service. And that is what happened with Mutter's life. He became extraordinarily skilled in surgery, and people from all over the country and all over the world would come to seek his services.
He learned some of those techniques in Paris after graduating from the University of Pennsylvania, something called Les Opérations Plastiques.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking very lots good. Of things that are tough to pronounce today. So what is that? What did he learn?
Right. I think that contemporary people view plastic surgery. We think of cosmetic surgery. We think of nose jobs and boob jobs. But plastic surgery literally means using the plastic of your skin, you know, plasticity, bendability, malleability, to help to correct something that is defective within you. So in Mutter's time, it kind of would be more seen as reconstructive surgery. So there were people who had horrible cleft palates, burn victims who were unable to close their mouths because of the severity of their burns. They didn't have grafting back then. People with their noses cut off, limbs injured, club foot.
And those people lived really marginalized existences. He talks about fixing monsters.
Yes. I mean, if you look at the Mutter Museum collection and you look at the early inventory, they actually have monsters is a medical term. They'd have a jar of monster, and that just means that they had a human that was so deformed that they just categorized it as monsters, just like they categorized people as idiots, and that was a medical term back then. Many times these people were hidden away, and they would not see the light of day, and it took a lot of bravery for them to come out into the public and to go to Mutter for treatment. And this was before anesthesia. So all of the surgeries that he did prior to 1846 were all done on people who were wide awake. So if you're talking about horrific facial deformities, such as burn victims, you have to do all of this cutting and repositioning without electricity and without anesthesia. And so they knew what they were getting into. And I found letter after letter where people would ask him for help, where they would say, I would rather die on your table than continue to live the life I'm living right now. And it speaks highly of him that he had such a wonderful success rate and treated them with so much empathy when the rest of the world would treat them as monsters.
Once he returned to Philadelphia, where did his career go? What did he do?
So when he first came back to Philadelphia, he was a very flamboyant, brash young man. He loved to dress very extravagantly and would be known for matching his suit to his horse to his carriage. But he did not find immediate success. They were very alienated. The Philadelphia Medical Society was very prissy and regimented, and they felt like you needed to follow certain rules, and he did not believe in those rules. So it took him a long time to find his footing. Thank God he met doctors who saw that he was a profound talent and a profound visionary, and they helped guide him into places and situations that would allow him to shine and get the attention that he needed. And then in 1841, Jefferson Medical College, which was the second medical college here in Philadelphia, the first one being the first ever in America, University of Pennsylvania, they found Mutter. And Mutter, at 31, was the youngest professor brought on, and he was made the chair of surgery.
His students loved him. Why were they so crazy about him?
He introduced certain types of teaching that had not been done before. So prior to that, you had sort of a lecture system where doctors would come and just talk and you would have to take notes. And frequently you went through two different cycles. So 2 years, you would hear the exact same lectures just again and again. But he brought in the Edinburgh's style of quizzing. So he would actually talk about something and then ask the students, which was very unnerving to them at first, but they grew to really like it. And he also was a very humanizing doctor. You know, one of the stories that I loved from the book was Squibb, Edward Squibb, who eventually founded the pharmaceutical company that would become Bristol-Myers. Squibb was Mutter's student. And he talked about how Mutter had brought in a man with elephantitis who was just a horror to look at. And after talking about treatments and what he would do next, he then asked the students to donate money to help the man, because he was like, this man cannot have a livelihood. And like, it's our duty to not just help them in the surgical room, but to make sure that we think of them as humans and prepare them for the outside world as well.
What are some of his biggest contributions to the field of medicine?
The number one contribution that he has is probably the Mutter flap, which is a surgery that he invented that is still being used today, which he invented to treat severe burn victims. And it was essentially an early style of grafting where you take a damaged piece of skin, remove it, and then take a healthy piece of skin from an area that was not infected by the deformity, swing it over, attach it, and let the scar tissue heal on the part that you cut out and the skin heal where the deformity was, and it would recreate faces and recreate jaws and necks and allow people to look human again after looking like monsters for so many years. And that technique is used in a number of different ways, even to this day. His influence was also, you know, he had a lot of surgical innovations, but I think the legacy that he leaves as a teacher, the way that he taught generations of medical students to think of patients not as problems to be solved, but as human beings who you're trying to alleviate their suffering. That was a big calling for him, to alleviate human suffering, I think was a game changer. And so to be so young and have this vision that others did not agree with, you know, he was the first one to perform surgery with anesthesia here in Philadelphia. And for years afterwards, the major hospitals banned it. They just could not get behind it. They didn't think it was worth the attention and struggled with it. But he knew cleanliness, you know, other doctors said, oh, you can't say that I'm giving diseases to patients. I'm a gentleman. I am clean. And he said, no, you actually have to wash your hands and tools, you know, to take the extra step of being, of caring for patients and understanding your role as a doctor. And then teaching that to generations of doctors, I think, had a domino effect that we're still feeling today.
When did Mutter start collecting things?
You know, it was a thing that most doctors did. A lot of doctors in that time period did, especially doctors who were teaching, because you wanted, if you had an unusual example of something that could happen, it would be helpful to showcase it. And Mutter just happened to have, you know, sort of extreme examples, because his work was with radical surgery. But he always collected throughout his life. And it was really funny finding letters in the archives of the Mutter Museum. And here at Jefferson, where he's writing about like updates in his life. And then there's a postscript that says, by the way, if you find any unusual bones or tumors at your hospital, please let me know. I'd be very interested in seeing them. So he was always, even in communications with his peers, always on the lookout for something that could help him understand a problem or help him teach his students.
What's the one thing perhaps you want people to take away from this book? Because sometimes it feels like the man is overshadowed by his collection. And we talk about the collection almost a bit like a freak show. And that's why people go sometimes. Yeah. So what do you want people to take away?
You know, where other people saw ugliness, he saw their humanity and wanted to do whatever it took to help bring that humanity to the surface, to alleviate human suffering. And so for Mutter, you know, I think that every aspect of his life, it was about human empathy and human interaction. So I hope when people read the book, it makes them feel empathize more with other humans. And also, I think it's an amazing tale of just passion, drive. You know, here is a boy whose entire family died, and he somehow made it to the top of the medical world here in America. And even despite all of this sniping and snarking that his fellow doctors had towards ideas that they thought were idiotic and were actually revolutionary, he persisted and did what he felt like he needed to do.
Kristen, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Kristen O'Keefe Aptowitz is a poet, and her new book is Dr. Mutter's Marvels, a true tale of intrigue and innovation at the dawn of modern medicine.